Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Ecclesiastes. We're continuing in our series in this book. We are almost done. As a matter of fact, after tonight, we'll have one more message, and we'll be finished with this book of the Bible. And I'm reading tonight from David Stern's translation of the Old Testament. He was a Hebrew scholar, now with the Lord, and shares some of the nuances of the Hebrew language. And I want to bring that out as we read this passage of Scripture. We're starting at verse 9 of chapter 11, and we're going to read through verse 8 of chapter 12. Beginning at verse 9, young person, if you spend your youth only having fun, if you use your early years just to entertain yourself, if you follow your heart as you live your life, and let your eyes be your guide, understand that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove anger from your heart and keep from harming your body, for neither adolescence nor youth has any lasting value. So remember your Creator while you are young, before the evil days come and the years approach when you will say, they no longer give me pleasure, before the sun and the light grow dim, also the moon and the stars, before the clouds return after the rain, on the day when the guards of the house are trembling and men of courage are bent over double, when the women stop grinding grain because there are so few, when the women at the windows can no longer see out, when the doors to the streets are kept shut, when the noise from the grain mill fades, when a person is startled by the chirp of a bird, yet their singing is hard to hear, when they will be afraid to go up a hill and terrors will stalk the way, even though the almond tree is in bloom, when the locust can only drag itself along, and the caperberry has no effect, because the person is headed for his eternal home, and the mourners are already gathering in the marketplace. Before the silver cord is snapped, the bowl of gold is cracked, the pitcher is shattered in the spring, the pulley is broken at the cistern, the dust returns to earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. It seems almost pointless, does it not? Meaningless, says Koheleth. Nothing seems to matter at all. But he's going to answer that. In the last part of this thing, he's going to give the proper response to what seems to human beings as something that's just terrible. We live our lives and then we get old. And we have all these problems. It just seems meaningless, does it not? In actuality, they don't. As we're going to see when we get into the last message of this book. But I want to pick up where we left last time. I'm going to give a quick review for those that were away last week. We talked about 8 lessons for young people, specifically young men that are addressed here in these verses of Scripture. Some warnings, some lessons that are appropriate and I think will be helpful to us all as we are around young people, as we teach young people. In one way or another, you're involved with young people. As a grandparent, you're involved with young people. As a Sunday school teacher, you're involved with young people. And so this message is not apart from us. It's needed for us. And the number one thing that we looked at last time in this first lesson is that actions bring, say it please, consequences that extend how far into eternity. They have consequences that extend into eternity. And we looked at several passages last week from the New Testament that show us that actions made in this life have eternal consequences. If I choose to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, there's an eternal consequence that will never end. I'm going to go to a devil's hell, and I'm going to be dumped into the lake of fire because of a decision that I did not make. I chose not to come to Christ by faith. You understand where we're coming from now? And there's many other areas. If I do choose the Lord Jesus Christ, I receive him. The Bible says, if I repent and believe the gospel, I will be saved. That has an eternal consequence. That continues on into eternity. I'm going to be with him forever in his presence. So there are things in this world, actions, decisions, choices, that have impacts all the way into eternity. And we must never forget that. Number two, we looked at last time, don't allow anger and hate to define your life. We mentioned this last time that we all know people that are very angry. We know people that are always on the edge, just ready to just light the fuse and blow up. They're right there. And as a result of that, there are people whose lives are what? Defined by their anger, by their wrath, by how they respond to things in life. And Koheleth here gives a warning. Solomon gives a warning here. Don't let your life be defined by anger. I've known people through the years. I have dealt with this in family, in other things, where people were just angry. They were angry. Young person, don't let your life be defined by anger and hatred. That's a wrong definition for your life. And we need to be teaching that to our children, amen, and to our grandchildren. There are many times when our families look at us and they look and say, well, that's just an angry person. There's no reason for that. There's no reason for that. What's needed? Christ in the life. Christ in the life. That changes everything. That transforms us. Number three, we looked at God leaves us the responsibility to choose our perspective. Notice this in our reading here. He says, therefore, verse 10, remove anger from your heart and keep from harming your body. For neither adolescence nor youth has any lasting value. In other words, that's going to change. As I look out here, I notice, and as I look in the mirror, I notice, things have changed. I used to have brown hair. Before that, I had blonde hair. Things have changed. I was the smallest kid in my class. I didn't weigh but 120 pounds when I graduated from high school. And all the other guys in the class were big, tall, and I was the little scrawny one up there on the stage with my graduation outfit on. Things have changed. I've put on some weight through the years. We all deal with this. And the point that Koheleth is making here is that as you live your life, there's transitions. You think one way as a child, you think one way in adolescence, and you think one way as you move into adulthood, and then as you age and you move into middle age and beyond, you've changed a lot. Your thinking has changed. You see, folks, we're in a constant state of transition, are we not? We're in a constant state of transition. Young people need to know this. Don't make a decision that is going to affect you and harm you well into the future as you transition and get older. I've told this story many, many times of a young lady that stopped me out at the ballpark. She was 16, 17 years old, had grown up playing t-ball. Her daddy had coached her and said, Mr. Brainerd, can I talk to you for just a moment? I said, sure. This was many years ago. And she said, I had an abortion. It's broke my mom and daddy's heart. I got involved with a boy in high school. I was having a baby. I decided I was going to have an abortion. And now my whole family situation is saying, but something's happened in my life. I got saved recently. Would you pray that my family can be restored from what I did and that there would be some forgiveness and understanding? I know I did wrong, I know, but I now have come to faith in Jesus Christ, and I know what I did was wrong, but I know that I am saved and on my way to heaven. She had made a decision that she will remember the rest of her life. She told me, she said, I'm coming up on the first anniversary of what would have been the birth date for that baby. And she said, I cannot get it out of my mind. And I had prayer with her, and I told her, I said, I can't imagine that. But I said, you know, the Lord is gracious and good. And He can take something. You can have a new family. And you can be able to build upon the righteousness of Christ. And old things will pass away and all things become new. But it's dealing with the thoughts of the past. What does the Bible say? Forget those things which are behind. I press forward into the high mark of God, the upward calling of God. You know, we have to decide, are we going to follow the Scriptures? Or are we just going to live with the ongoing thoughts that are inside of us? Or are we going to turn them over to the Lord? God's given you the responsibility. You can live an angry life. You can do harm to your body. But you're going to have ongoing effects into the future. Do what's right. Honor the Lord with your body. Let's go on. The fourth one in verse 10. And this is the last one before we move into the next chapter. Childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. You know, it's an amazing thing. We had the Brian was over, and we were watching Avery, and we were talking to Caroline, and we were talking about, I said, you know, you boys used to be able to do handstands over in the corner over here and do push-ups. Who can do it? And my wife said, yeah, go do that. I wasn't about to. There would have been an ambulance on the way if I had done that. So Jonathan runs over there, and he just handstand right up to it, and then he tried to do a push-up. I can't do it anymore, Dad. So Brian went over, and he flipped himself up there. He did a couple of them. And they when they came back down, sat back down on the car, out of breath, said, we can't do what we used to do when we were kids. I said, yeah, you're getting older. Now, they're still young, you know. They're in their 20s, 26 and 28. They're still young. But there used to be things we could do back in the day, you know, like shoot basketballs and dribble back and forth and not be winded. Whereas now, whoo, it's just not the same. There are transitions of life physically. The prime of life is fleeting. And one day, all you'll do is talk about what you used to do. Dr. Hobbs used to, whenever I was a kid, down at the pool, we had the big diving board. Bill remembers this. He used to do spins off the diving board. He would just go up in the air and do flips, and then he would dive down into the water. Now, I never tried that. I never tried that, but he could do it. When he was in his 40s at that particular time, he would do those things. And there would be other kids that would try to do that. They would see him do it, then they would try. You ever heard of a belly flop? You just hear that pop on the water. Oh, yeah. Couldn't do it. Now, he could do it. But as he got older, he stopped doing it because he couldn't do it anymore. And he would oftentimes, you know, that diving board up there, we're going to have to take it out because the insurance company wants us to get rid of it. But you remember whenever I used to do those flips off the board? Yes, Dr. Hobbs, I remember that, you know. And it was just a memory. We're reminded right now, do you think young people need to know this? Yeah. Don't think that somehow it's not going to happen to you. It will. And we need to understand the process of life, and we need to understand that life is fleeting. And you can't control it. You can't stop it. We're unable to do that. So now we move into the next passage of Scripture here, where Kohelet says, remember your Creator when? When you're young. When you're young. Do you know what the ministry of Grace Bible Church and Gospel Projects and Santa Rosa Christian School is all about? It's remembering their creator when they're young. And what has evolution done in the public school system? It stripped them of the memory of who the creator is and says there is no creator. There is no creator. Now what is that doing? It's turning a generation away from the creator God and sending them another mindless direction. Remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. This, folks, is one of the great truths of Christianity, of biblical history, and understanding that every child needs to know that there is a creator and it is the person of Jesus Christ. He has created all things. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Now that's pretty clear, is it not? But then the evolutionist comes along. And by the way, there's Christian evolutionists too. Say, oh no. You know, God used this process that happened over millions of years. What is that? It's diminishing the truth and the authority of the Word of God, and it's taking a child and saying there is no creator God in essence. There's no creator God. Therefore, we will determine how things came here. Children need to be taught the truth of the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. Number 6, remember your creator before the evil days come. Oh, what? There's going to be evil days? This week, I have texted back and forth with Bob, I don't know, 6, 7 times. He's struggling with the loss of his son. And I've had opportunities to pray with him. I've gone back and forth. We've talked to each other on the phone. It's hard. It's hard to lose a child. And he said, I just want to know that God has a purpose. And I said, God has a purpose, Bob. The problem is you don't know what it is. And so you have to move to the second thing. And this is what I encouraged him. The second thing is God never does anything wrong. And if you move to that basis, the first one is much easier. Amen? It's a realization that God did not make a mistake. There is a purpose. I don't know what that purpose is. But God does not make mistakes. Therefore, I trust Him. And maybe with time, and certainly, as I encourage him, it may not be until eternity, that you'll find out all the purposes that God had in taking him at 22. God knows. God makes no wrong decisions or choices. And so we have to rest in that knowledge. Amen? We have to rest in that knowledge. And we find that pictured here in verse 1. Let me read it again. So remember your Creator while you are young, before the evil days come and the years approach when you will say, there's no doubt about this, you will say this, they no longer give me pleasure, before the sun and the light grow dim, also the moon and the stars, before the clouds return, after the rain, and so forth, as he describes growing older and dealing with all the things and the deterioration of the human body. Now, I was talking to Jack this week. His brother was here this morning at church. And I've gotten to know him through the years as I've gone over to the house from time to time and visited whenever he's come down. And he's just a happy-go-lucky man. And Jack was telling me, he said, you know, it's really sad. Cindy went away for spring break week to go visit her kids up in Illinois, and I was here, and he said, I called my brother and said, hey, can you come and be with me this week so I'm not by myself? And so he flew down, and he said, you know, it's really sad. I've got an 86-year-old brother that's coming to help a 90-year-old man, and he's worse off than I am. At least that's what he said. And I said, well, Jack, I said, I don't know that he's worse off than you are. Oh, no, you don't understand. He can't hear me whenever I'm calling. I said, well, you did call him. And he did say he would come, right? That's a pretty nice brother. So we were going back and forth on that and having a little bit of fun. But the reality is this. They've reached that age. All right? I just had prayer meeting with a 90-year-old and an 86-year-old who's soon to be 87, right? And the Lord's allowed these two men to be in my life. Wayne, 90 years of age. Howard, 90 years of age. Jack, 90 years of age. I've got a lot of people in my life that are still alive, that are advancing in years. But things are showing. We don't like to admit it, right? We don't like to admit it. Here's one sign. We talk about this quite often. Mr. O'Pager doesn't mind. This is Cain or Abel?
Cain.
This is Cain. The red one is Abel. All right. He's named them after biblical things. And we always have these. What's that? I named them. Yeah, that's right. I haven't gotten my fee yet for doing that. But Mr. O'Pager did not have this a few years ago. And he doesn't mind me saying this because he knows things are moving. That's just the way life is. When I look in the mirror and I see gray hair, things are moving in a certain direction. I can't live in denial of that. I can't say, well, I'm not going to think about it. I'm just not going to think about it. You will be thinking about it. It happens. All right? It happens. So what should we do? We should follow the Scriptures and understand and know this is what's going to happen. And so, we find here, remember your Creator before the evil days come. Before you grow old, you need to remember your Creator. Why? Because the ability to remember begins to escape. It begins to escape. We understand that and prepare ourselves for that possibility. We've all known people. But we have to understand that could happen to me. And so I need to remember my Creator while I can. That's a glorious thought, is it not? Let's go on. Number 7, opportunities for enjoyment changes as time advances. I told you last week I saw a video of a 78-year-old man running in a marathon. And he won his age division at 78. When he crossed the line, all right, he got first place in his age division. When he crossed the line, he was doing like this. He was running sideways. And they finally ran over and got him and said, are you all right? And his answer was, no, I'm not. Did I win? Yeah. Now, he was running a race. I think it was a 10K or a 15K, something like that. And he won his age division, but guess what was showing? Yeah. The age aspect. The opportunities for enjoyment. He probably used to enjoy running. Do we have any people in here that enjoy running? Okay, there's a few of you. All right, Carson, Donnie. Do you run from work at the house? Is that when you're fastest at that? That's my brother and I. That's what we did. Mom's got chore time. Pew, out the door we went on the bicycles. Pedaled as fast as we could because we knew Mom couldn't run. And try to get out of it. But she was waiting when we got back. And we did our chores. Yeah, opportunities change. Not the same, is it? Number 8. The ultimate reality of old age. Everybody say it, please. Death. And that's what this passage is all about. It gives a description. Several Hebrew idioms are used here to describe impending death. The silver cord is, say it. Snapped. The bowl of gold is cracked. The silver cord used to be beautiful. Now it's broken. The silver bowl used to be gorgeous, and now it's not. Some Bible scholars believe the bowl of gold is a picture of the blonde, you know. And I see pictures of women. There was a lady down here at the nursing home that was a beauty queen for 1940. And they dyed her hair back to blonde again. And they showed her, and they had her picture in 1940 and her picture up there from whenever they had the beauty contest down there. They didn't look like the same person. All right? The golden bowl is cracked. The pitcher is shattered at the spring. The pulley is broken at the cistern. These are all things we know. We can picture them. And what is he saying? What's the outcome? The dust returns to earth. The spirit returns to God who gave it. All right? There's a connection here. Verse 8, and we're done. Without having the true purpose of life, vanity, meaninglessness, and futility prevail. We're talking about the natural man. Without Christ, all of these things seem meaningless and futile and vain. But there is a purpose, and it's found in Jesus Christ. It's found in God's plan, as we're going to see in this next section when we get into it. I have learned so much in this particular study, but this particular section, it seems like that Koheleth just says, I'm going to talk to the young fellows here, the young men, those that are in the 15 to 25 age group. He said, whew, I'm out of that. Wait a minute, just a minute. You have a grandson? Going to be that age soon? Think about that. These eight things that we have shared are so important to communicate to the next generation. And I pray that we do so. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth that Solomon shares here. This was given by a pen of inspiration, showing how the natural man looks at things, but then how the believer sees things that God has shared in his word. I pray that you would instruct us that we might learn and know how we should live here upon this earth. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.